Amen. Amen. Are we at John 3:16? Let me get there. Let's read 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, John 13, verses 34 and 35, in the Amplified Bible, Jesus says, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. That question, you already probably already know the answer, as astute as all of you are. But why did the disciples try and talk Jesus out of returning to Jerusalem? Why did Peter deny Christ three times? Why did Abraham go into Egypt? Why did the religious leaders try to stop the early church? They were all worried that something would happen if they continued on the path they were going, even though God had directed them. And we need to understand that we are all guilty of the same thing. God will give us a direction, and we'll find a reason to worry about it. We'll find a reason. And then we will start worrying and wondering what's going on. What's it? We make the mistake of thinking, I'm going to touch on this later, but he said say it now, so I am. We make the mistake of thinking that if we understood, we wouldn't worry. Well, when I was a freshman in high school, I was in an electric shop, and we were rebuilding this motor, and I'd finished early, just really before everyone, so I'm there playing with the motor and spinning the shaft. I took a little wire and coiled it on the shaft and spun it, was laughing at the way it was spinning around and, you know, looking like it was a screw. And I was like, hey, look at this. And I said, hey, wait a minute, I got an idea. Let me power up the motor and then see how it spins. Bill Cosby said, to show you how dumb I was. So I wrapped it around again and plugged in the motor, and I hit the switch, and I felt something go whap across my eye. And I grabbed my eye, and it was wet, and I'm thinking my eye is bleeding, because naturally, not having it connected, as soon as it spun, the wire just shot right off and hit the first thing in its path, the dummy. Okay. And I'm there, I'm holding my eye. Now, I knew exactly what happened. I understood that it was my fault. Did not make me feel any better, okay? And it didn't stop me from worrying, because I thought the liquid in my hand was eye juice coming out. And, you know, and everybody want to pull your hand away, and it's like, no, because pull your hand away, you're going to hear something go plop and roll, you know? I mean, that's... And I worried about this thing until finally I went and looked in the mirror and was relieved when I just had a welt across my eye, but it still hurt. But worrying didn't do anything for it. You know, so I'm wondering, why are we allowing ourselves to worry about things that we can't control? And worry hasn't, did you know that worry has no power? Worry cannot show up and jump into you. It can't. Look, by definition, worry means to torment oneself. By definition, a circumstance, a situation arises, and we decide to torment ourselves with it. It means to torment with cares, anxiety, trouble, plague, to cause to be anxious or uneasy, to disturb your peace of mind. Worry. With our help. That's the part that amazes me. The disciples were worried about the death threats. And it wasn't just for Jesus. They figured, now wait a minute. When they come and get him, if we're with him, they going to get us too. No, master, you don't want to go there. Okay. I mean, that's what Peter, surely you were with him. No, sir. No, he just saw Jesus be drug off and beaten and sped on. And I said, you were with him. No, they're not doing that to me. I remember when I was baptized, no voice said I was the beloved son. Okay. So if that happened to Jesus, all right. I mean, that's what Abram was like. I know what God said, but there's a famine. Where are we going to eat? They got food in Egypt, so rather than stay out here and not have anything, let's go to Egypt. I mean, worrying. And with Abram, it changed the course. Because he left Egypt with something he didn't plan on. Sarai. Hagar, rather, right, yeah. I knew it was one of those R's. Yeah. And that's why we have all this unrest in the Middle East. So we have to look at, why are we worrying? You know, how many of you, and I know this has to be, I know it is before you receive Christ, but how many of you have lied about anything? Okay. Don't raise your hands. I don't want to see. I don't want to look this way. Okay. But the question is, why? You were worried about what would happen if you told the truth. I mean, that's worry. You had already figured out, if you told the truth, you already knew what was going to happen. So why worry about it? I mean, you know, do it and get it over with and keep going. But no, we will worry. And then finally, when our parents would find out, we know we're in worse trouble. At least we're relieved that it's over. I mean, that's... It's like, finally. Because until then, you need to think about it. Every time your parent called your name, your heart went in your throat. Right? Because you thought, oh my God, they found out. I remember once, one of the LCA students, you know, LCA was a school that the ministry had, and she was having some challenges in a particular class, and I shared some strategies with her, and I prayed with her and reminded her she has the mind of Christ and that she'll be found to be 10 times smarter. And her language arts teacher told me, she said, look, and she had gotten like a 96 on an exam. And I said, let me tell her. Please, let me tell her. I said, okay. So, you know, when they changed classes, my custom was I was in the hallways, and I saw her, and I was like, Miss Barkley, I need to see you in my office. And all of the children said, ooh, Kelly. And she came into my office, and I sat down, and I have her test paper, and I'm like, wow, this is really something else. I said, I'm going to need an explanation about this. She proceeded to tell me all this stuff that was going on in the school. And she was like, okay, I told them you would find out. And she just, and naturally I'm saying that, okay, yeah, uh-huh. Come on, give it all to me now. Come on. And all this stuff that was going on. And when she finished, she said, I'm actually relieved now that I told you and it's out. I didn't tell her until about 5 years ago that I was just calling her into my office to congratulate her on getting a high test score. But she was worried about it. She was just so worried. And that's what happens. But look at Matthew 6. I'm going to share, beginning at verse 25, I'm going to share out of the Phillips New Testament. And Jesus speaking to us, I say us because he's speaking to his disciples. That is why I say to you, don't worry about living, wondering what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. Surely life is more important than food and the body more important than the clothes you wear. Look at the birds in the sky. They never sow nor reap nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable to him than they are? And what's the answer to that? Yes. Thank you. At least one person's got it. All right. Can any of you, however much he worries, make himself an inch taller or shorter? Okay. I mean, I worried for 15 years about the size of my feet. They didn't stop growing. Okay. Not until they got to 16. They stopped by themselves. All right. Can any of you, however much he worries, make himself an inch taller? And why do... Matter of fact, I remember seeing a product on TV, some inserts, you put in your shoes, make you 2 inches taller. It did. It said, have the confidence that you need to get out there and date. And I'm like, and hope you don't take your shoes off when you're with that date. Okay. And why do you worry about clothes? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They neither work nor weave, but I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was never arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the flowers of the field, which are alive today and burnt in the stove tomorrow, is he not much more likely to clothe you, you little faiths? Verse 31. So don't worry and don't keep saying, what shall? Just need to pause there. Because that's what we do. We'll keep saying, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Don't do that. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? This is what pagans are always looking for. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows. Set your heart on the kingdom and his goodness. And listen to this. And all these things will come to you as a matter of course. See, folks, that means as we are walking out, living this life in Christ, everything will come naturally. Naturally. Because that's the way it is. But we have to seek God first. The problem is we've been seeking him second and third and fourth. And we've not been having these things as a matter of course. So we've taken on worries. We'll make choices. I don't know how I'm going to get this done, so I'll go out and get a second job. Now, I know it's not the best because it'll keep me from going to church. But God understands. He understands that you're not trusting him, and you are trying to do it. So you work two jobs. My dad worked three jobs. Three jobs. Worrying about how he was going to take care of us. And the reason he was in that state is because God told him to go and preach his word, and he didn't do it. So he was outside of God's will. He knew it, but he didn't understand the right. He really didn't understand the ramifications of it. I didn't understand the ramifications of it when I would say was saying no to God. It wasn't until age 34 that I finally started to understand. But he didn't know. So he tried to handle it himself. Remember, when we were doing praise and worship, this popped up in Matthew 27, when they were asking Jesus and the disciples if they'd pay taxes, and he told Peter, go down to the water, throw in a hook, first fish that comes up, open its mouth, take the coin, and pay for you and me. Okay, well, obviously, taxes were due, and they didn't have the money. They didn't say, what am I going to do? Jesus told them, go to the water, throw in a hook. First fish that comes up, take care of it. They did what he said. They took care of it. No problems. No problem. We worry. I don't know what I'm going to do. We're going to hire one of those lawyers from TV that can reduce our tax debt. We don't realize that they're going to charge us 10, 12, 15% more. just to do that, right? You take that money, give it to IRS, and work out your own arrangement with it. But we start worrying about these things. And worry has become a multi-billion dollar, has started a number of multi-billion dollar industries. One of them is debt relief. Okay. The other one, cosmetic surgeries. We worry about how we look. We say, I'm overweight. I got to get a tummy tuck. No, close your mouth. Okay. No, but we'll do those things. I don't like my nose, so I got a nose job. My ears are too big. Let me get a ear job. You know, I mean, I was so happy when I turned 17. It seems my ears went from like this. They started to finally lay back along my head. Okay. And I did. I'd stand in the mirror and sit for about 5-10 minutes holding them like this, like, man, they pop back up. Okay. I mean, we do things like that. You know, but why? It never bothered me until other people started laughing at it. To me, they were my ears. And then I let other people cause me to start worrying about how I look when I was comfortable with how I looked before I started listening to them. Okay. But I couldn't do anything about it. I wasn't going to tell. I had enough smarts to know not to get a pair of scissors and try and trim back my ears. Okay. But we folks will go and have all these cosmetic surgeries, you know, that have about every part of their body enhanced. And after they spend all that money, then they're going to worry, I hope it takes. All right? And, it, you know, if I'll pick on the guys because they'll look at, not that I'm not a guy, but I don't look at those commercials and think those things. Okay. And they'll see those commercials, you know, with the colognes and stuff, and they figure, well, let me put on this cologne, like, hey, where are the babes? You know, you want, no one came. Maybe I need some more. You know, it worked. I mean, we do all those things. And what's funny, I told the people in the Nanuet, we start worrying and we'll start developing these nervous twitch. You know, you're just walking and, it's a, you know, and you're blinking or you're stuttering and you're pulling your hair and, you know, you've done all that and you're going to meet someone and you're like, hi, how you doing? You know, because it's over. And you're still wondering, how come they don't like me? You know. But you haven't handled the worry part of it, you know. And when you think about it, it's just that dumb. But we do it, and we forget what God said in Philippians 4:19, that he shall supply all our need. All of it. That means there isn't a need. Well, it means a couple of things. The first thing we really have to understand, God said that I shall supply. You know what that tells us? He knows you don't have it yet. Because if you had it, he wouldn't say, I shall supply it, because you would have it. So when you say, God, I don't have this, he's like, I know. He's like, and I'm going to get it to you if you would just wait and trust me. And in the meantime, do this. Consume yourself in doing what I said. These things will come as a matter of course. But if we don't do what he said, we start focusing on what we think we need, and we get stuck. We really do. He said, I know you don't have it. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. And we worry when. What difference does it make if God said he'll do it? That means he's taken on that responsibility. So it's no longer mine. He knows the time frames. You say, yeah, but I need this tomorrow. God knew that. So what am I supposed to do? Well, what can you do about it? Nothing, exactly. That's what you do. Leave it alone and trust God. Yeah, but what are the people going to say? Didn't God say, you have favor with man and me? Well, I've done my part. So why are you concerned about man? I've already given you favor with man. So why are you worrying? We think about that. It's like, I don't know. He's like, exactly. But look at the Amplified Bible. Says God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need. The Common English Bible says God will meet your every need. I think there was one more. And yeah, the Message Bible says you can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. You can be sure. So why are we worrying? Why are we not sure? See, we have to understand what the scripture is saying. So why are you bugging? Because you think you have a need that's not being met. It's okay, folks, to have a need. We get hung up. I don't have any needs. Oh, no, no. God says, I shall not want. Scripture didn't say you shall not need. It said you shall not want. Okay? Because when you think about it, if I have a need, let's say I need a large print Bible, and God said he'll supply my every need, I don't need to want it. He already knows I need it. I just need to be patient and let him provide it. So I don't have any wants. But God said he would supply my every need. We have to focus on that truth. As I said earlier, that's our problem-free philosophy. My God shall supply my every need. Once we adopt that, then we can go around singing Hakuna Matata, because we'll have no worries for the rest of our days, because we'll understand that God will provide them. And going back to Matthew 6, verse 34, Jesus said, don't worry at all then about tomorrow. Tomorrow can take care of itself. One day's trouble is enough for one day. It's like, why are you taking on more than you need? And really, when you think about it, how many of you have a written guarantee that you're going to be here tomorrow? I mean, we all believe we are, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we don't have a guarantee, so we're worried about something that we may not even be a part of. We look and say, boy, and I don't know how I'm going to handle this in 5 years from now. 5 years from now? Okay. You haven't gotten through today yet, Chief. You worried about 5 years from now? Worrying about it? Why? Well, that's good planning. On whose part? I haven't, you know, if you found it, let me know, but I haven't found any scripture where God said, make sure you have your 5-year plan in place. I haven't found one. But we have to do it. I'll get to that in a moment. I was looking up, you know, when I look up a topic like that, I use every source possible. And I was surfing the internet, reading what people were saying about worry. And I came across this article entitled Worrying, Worrying, Worrying. And it opened up by saying, a worried mind is a troubled mind that's not at peace. And I'm like, well, that's true. But it said, and I thought about this, even though mankind in past civilizations had a rougher time surviving the elements and avoiding imminent dangers than modern man, yet it's modern man who's consumed by worry. And I start thinking about that. See, when we want food, we go to the supermarket. If I need meat, I go to the butcher. And when I go to the butcher to get it, guess what? I don't have to worry that the meat's going to try and eat me. All right. But that's what the other civilizations had. They had to go out and hunt their own food. And sometimes the things that they were hunting looked at them as being food. All right. They had to pack up. See, we pack a suitcase, and we'll get upset because our suitcase doesn't have the right label on it. You know, but they had to pack up. And they go on these long hunting expeditions, and they had to build their shelter wherever they went to go out. We leave the heat up. We go to the store. And we worry if we're going to get a parking space close to the store. You know? But we just consume ourselves with all these worries. And when you think about it, it makes no sense. When you actually look at what we're doing, it makes absolutely no sense when we're a race of believers. He said, humans worry because they lack knowledge of the future and they fear their limited capacities. Mothers worry whether or not their children will be safe. Children worry whether they're going to be safe. They start hearing all the things that are out there. They start worrying about it. They worry about, oh, how am I going to get into college of my choice? And I'm like, well, first of all, you want to scratch that and find out what's the college of God's choice. Because if you go where God sends you, guess what? You won't have to worry about a thing because he'll provide it. They worry about their exams. You know, then they get out of school. They become attorneys and doctors. And doctors worry whether or not they're going to give the right medication or make the right diagnosis. Patients worry. The same thing, did he give me the right medicine? You know, did he do the right? I mean, he's supposed to. I mean, oh, it's just like one after another. It's just like endless what happens. And he closes, he concludes the article. Isn't it? It's quite obvious that worry is a symptom of a society that lacks a spiritual connection and trust in the Creator. Exactly. And I said, this person knew what he was talking about. He said, the problem would be solved immediately if one turned to the Spirit within. Immediately. Okay, God, what do I do about this? And then you do nothing until he tells you. Nothing. We've had vendors coming to do work and, well, you know, if you sign it now, you know, we'll discount it 15, 20%. And facilities will come and say, well, we have to do this now. We have to. I'm like, no, we don't. No. Why do we have to do this now? No, because they said that they would discount it 15% or 20%. And, you know, that's a lot. We're believing for cutting finances. I said, not to the point we're just going to rush off and make choices before we hear from the Holy Ghost. No. And if they're willing to give us 15 or 20% now, they will when the Holy Ghost says so. And even if they don't, God said he would supply our need. So he knows what they said. And when the time came, guess what? We still got the 15 to 20%. I'm like, you want it? Yeah, fine. If you want the business, act like it. I mean, that's all. But if God tells us to use them, we're going to use them if they were 20% more. Because God knows exactly what we need. And we have to stop worrying and just trust him with it. That's all. Just trust him. But these are some of the things that worry will do. It'll damage your physical and mental health. Worry. It'll cause you to be consumed. It'll disrupt your productivity, negatively affect the way you treat others. It's because you're worrying. Adversely affect your emotions. And here's the kicker. It will reduce your ability to trust in God, thereby preventing you from doing what he said. So, well, how can that happen? Look at Matthew 4. I'm going to share verse 19 in the Message Bible and in the Contemporary English Bible. And again, I do that for two reasons. One is, the main one is that there's one the Holy Ghost told me to use. But I asked him, why does he do it? And he said, well, he wants to share it in the one that he feels is most easily received and understood by the people. It says, beginning with verse 18, actually, in the Message Bible, it says, the seed cast in the weeds represents the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. Nothing. That's why I said it will stop you from doing what God said. This Contemporary English Version, the seeds that fell among the thorn bushes are also people who hear the message, but they start worrying about the needs of this life. They are fooled by the desire to get rich and have all kinds of other things, and they never produce anything. Never produced anything. And what I thought was interesting is that also in there, it says that the stress choked out the word. And I started thinking about that term, choked out. And, you know, the first time I really heard it used was in these mixed martial arts competitions. That's a submission hold, you know, where the person literally puts his opponent in a choke hold and won't let go until the person either gives up or passes out. Okay. And that's what worry does. It will, once you pick it up, because you have, it cannot jump up on, you have to pick it up and embrace it. And when you embrace it, it starts to choke. And it chokes the word to the point where you don't understand it anymore. And you don't know what to do, and you feel like you can't breathe, so you stop. You give up. Say, I can't. I can't. This is too much. And you don't produce based on the word God spoke to you. Yes. That was Mark 4:19. What did I say? Oh, I apologize. I guess because I said it was a different translation. Well, that's really different. Yep. Let me read the whole scripture because I think I chopped it off. The seed, this is the contemporary English version. The seeds that fell among the thorn bushes are also people who hear the message, but they start worrying about the needs of this life. They are fooled by the desire to get rich and have all kinds of other things. So the message gets choked out and they never produce anything. Never. Because you allow worry to come in and just cancel out everything that you heard from God. Why? Because you chose to worry. God doesn't want us to go through stuff. He doesn't want us to give up. He doesn't want us to quit. He made us in his image and his likeness, and there's no quit in him. He's never lost. Well, we're made like that. We're made to never lose. And I'm not talking about, you know, competitions, you know, in basketball games. I'm talking about spiritually. In matters pertaining to God's plan for our lives, we were designed to win. Period. Look at 1 Peter 5. Verse 7. I'm in the Amplified Bible now. Where God says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. Who's him? Jesus. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. That's what Jesus does. He cares for us affectionately and about us watchfully. He's watching everything that's happening that happens concerning us. See, care will cause you to start worrying. That's why it says casting. And you look up casting, it means to throw upon. It means a care, just throw it in. No, get rid of it. Give it to Jesus because, first of all, we weren't designed to handle it. But looking up, again, the definition for cares, the state of mind in which one is troubled, a cause or object of worry. See, something will come and you'll take a care. And as you think about that care, it will turn into a worry. You know, a lot of times we will say, because Brother Hagin said it once, he said, I tell God, you know, I'm concerned about it, but it's not my concern. I can't do that. I personally can't. I haven't gotten to the place where I can do that. If I care about it, it's going to become a worry. If it's a concern, it's going to be a worry. So the minute I see it forming concern, I got to get rid of it. And it's not that I'm cold-hearted. It's not that I don't care about individuals and circumstances. I already know I'm ill-equipped to handle it. So when it comes, Father, this is your concern. I'm leaving it in the best place I possibly can. With you, I'm going to keep doing what you told me. And that's it. Because for me, anything else, I will start worrying about it. I will. And we have to be honest with ourselves. But I looked up, lately I've been looking up root words. And so I looked up the root word for care. And I thought it was interesting. Because, you know, when the Bible says take no thought, it means like stop caring about it. Those two, take no thought and cares, they have the same root word. And basically it means to divide. Now, I never thought of it like that. And so then I started just thinking and meditating. I was like, why would you use divide? And he said, well, that's what worry does. He said, first of all, it's going to separate you from everything that I said. I'm like, that's true. That's division. He said, but then it will also divide you from someone else. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, when you're worrying and you talk with someone, you want them to take on the same thing you worried about. And when you find someone that's a little more, you know, steady, and they say, well, you know, the word says not to worry. You go, I know what the word says. I mean, it's like, yeah, I know you do. But Jesus said, you know, casting care. Look, don't stand here and preach to me. I know the word. All right? I know what it says. You know, you said, that's all right. You don't understand. You've now separated yourself. There's now division there. And it doesn't stop there. You'll keep trying to find someone. And then you wind up dividing a church because you want someone to get an agreement that you should be worried about something. And some folks are trying to tell you, God's got it under control. It's like, I know what he said. Okay, can I have my head back now? You know, all right. And then we use the end all phrase. You know, well, I'm not like you. God is still working with me in that area. Okay. Folks start moonwalking away from you. We say, okay, let me just leave them alone. But no, but it every time we worry, it will divide. It'll separate. And I never looked at worry as doing that. But that's what it'll do. By definition, cares do that. Because cares become worries. And it will cause you to separate yourself. And what God told you to do will now become foreign to you because you won't see how you can do it. He says, surely God must have known that this was going to come up. So I know he can't expect me to do this under these circumstances. Yes, he can. Because he knew it before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knew this circumstance was waiting for you. And he already equipped us to handle it. How do you handle it? Give it back to him and keep doing what he told you to do. How? The same way you do everything else. Or Pastor Sarah taught a message once, worry, misdirected energy. So it's not that you don't have the strength to do it. You do. You're just using it all to worry, so you have no strength left. Okay? Take the strength away from the worry, take the energy away from the worry, and put it to doing what God told you to do, and that need will be handled, like the scripture says, as a matter of course, as you are just walking out your life. You folks, we were not equipped to handle cares. We were not made, these bodies were not made to handle stress or worry. Adam didn't even need to use faith before they sinned. He didn't even need faith. Everything was just there. That's all. Anything that he wanted appeared. I mean, that's just whatever it was, bang, there it is. Wherever he wanted to go, he was there. Worry didn't come in until he scooped it up. And took it on. Changed the whole course. But just because he changed the course, we need to understand that he didn't change God's plan. God still planned for us to have no worries for the rest of our days. Now we have to use faith. Well, that's okay. Because all we have, that just means we believe that God's going to do what he said. And if we don't believe that God's going to do what he said, we're in trouble anyway. But look at Luke 10. Because I want to show you how worry is a choice. And I'm in the Phillips translation. And this is the account of Mary and Martha. You know, boy, oh boy. I used to hear folks get religiously blessed out because someone looked at me and said, "You got a Martha spirit." You know, I'm like, what are they talking? And I start reading the script and I'll say, oh, okay. She may have a Martha spirit, but what's that spirit in you? All right. As they continued their journey, Jesus came to a village and a woman called Martha welcomed him. It's verse 39. Welcome him to her house. She had a sister by the name of Mary who settled down at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was very worried about her elaborate preparations. And she burst in saying, "Lord, don't you mind that my sister has left me to do everything by myself? Tell her to get up and help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, my dear, you are worried and bothered about providing so many things. Only a few things are really needed, perhaps only one. Mary has chosen the best part, and you must not tear it away from her." See, so Mary could have chosen to get worried like Martha and not sit at Jesus' feet and soak in all of his wisdom. Martha could have done the same thing. She chose to worry. And this one says about her elaborate preparations. Maybe she was known for throwing great parties. And I'm not trying to be funny, but that might have been something that she was had pride in. This is how you take care of someone. When you come into my house, everything has to be just so. Okay? I mean, that's to the point where now she's worried about it. Because this isn't just an old neighbor. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. And probably deluded herself. The only reason he came to my house because he heard, okay, how I do things here. And now she's not going to help me. I want to go and sit down at his feet also. But somebody has to do this work and she's not going to help me. Oh, no, we got to do something. Jesus, make her leave. Okay. I mean, that's what we do. We get ourselves all worked up about things that we think we should be doing, and we miss doing what's needed, hearing what Father has to say to us, because ultimately that's what's going to help us. And he said, Mary has chosen the best part, and you can't take that away from her. You can't. Let's look at Philippians 4. Because one thing that worry will separate you from is your peace of mind. Philippians 4. Verse 6 to 9. Says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, not moaning and murmuring and complaining, but with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Phillips translation says, don't worry over anything, whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer, and the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ. As they rest. When we let our requests be made known to God, his peace wipes out everything we understand about what we're going through. And we just have peace. But if I don't take it to God in thankful prayer, I'm not going to understand what's going on. And because I don't understand what's going on, guess what I'm going to do about it? Whatever I think I should. And because I can't handle it, it's going to raise my level of frustration. So I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to just say, you know what? Forget this. Forget this. I don't need this. And then we utter these words that send chills down my back every time I hear them and even every time I share them. I didn't have to go through this when I was a sinner. I was better off then. I'm like, no, you wasn't. But would be worried will get, cause us to say those things because we don't understand. It's impossible for us to understand. I have no peace. At least when I was in the world, I could do things to forget. You know, I'll drink something. I'll snort something. I'll smoke something. I don't remember. You know, and then it's just party. It's fine. But I don't do that. So I have to just give it to God in thankful prayer because he said he will supply all that I need. All that I need. So I don't have to say, God, I need peace. I just got to have some peace. Father, thank you. You gave me Jesus, and your word says he is my peace. So I'm resting in him. Yeah, this thing is out there. You know what it is. So you'll do what you do with it. I'm going to go on. I'm ministering Wednesday, so I'm going to go on and prepare. Period. I got to get out to prayer service. No, this is what I've been instructed to do, Lord. This is what I'm doing. All this is yours. I'm focusing on this. And as a matter of course, all this stuff works itself out. I don't lose my peace. And I walk around singing Hakuna Matata. but that's what he wants. He wants us to have no worries for the rest of our days. Why don't you say it? Say, my God shall supply all my need. My God will liberally supply, fill to the full my every need. My God will meet my every need, and I can be sure that God will take care of everything. We have to believe that. Even if in a situation that's all we can get out, get it out. And that's what we say. And then we could go around singing Hakuna Matata. Because if you don't do it, you'll find yourself in a stationery store scratching lotto tickets. I mean, that's what you'll find yourself doing. And you say, let's see, okay, I know God's perfect number is 7. Yeah, it's got to have a 7 in it. You scratch that off. Okay. So 8, that's the number of beginning. Yeah, I'm starting a new life when I win this. Let me get this 8 in here. I mean, we start doing all of these things, or we'll go there and we'll start playing the numbers. Yeah, I mean, we'll start doing all these, trying to take care of a need. Look at these programs. Well, I don't really apply this, but, well, I can say this. Now you're about to get over into lying. Again, are you delivered from all of that? Just because we start worrying when there's no need to worry, none. I mean, this doctor will call you. There's no exaggeration. There's an individual that shared, and we knew that they were, you know, going through some physical challenges, and they needed to go and have a physical, and they did, and, you know, they had all kinds of scans. Doctor, come in, we'll talk about your test results. They didn't go. And over 3 weeks, why didn't you go? I don't know what they're going to say. I wanted to go, what's the matter with you? I mean, but we don't want to know. What's he going to say? What's the worst that he can say? All right? And if he says that, God already has the answer for that. You know, I said, why are you worrying about this? Go. Do you trust God? Well, yeah. Well, then go. They are not going to tell you anything that that God's going to say, oh, man, I never expected that to happen to you. I mean, but that's what we need to see. We need to see ourselves as being that silly because we know everything that we need, he'll provide. Regardless of, he didn't say, I'll supply your every need unless they tell you I have cancer. You have cancer. You have cancer, forget it. I'll be seeing you shortly. Okay, no. He didn't say that. He said, I shall supply your every need. You know, well, why did this person leave here? Because like any good parent, you see your child out there and they're struggling and they're trying to get it right. For whatever reason, they're not making it. You go to the door and what do you say? Why don't you come on inside? Come on home. And they still don't want to come. So come on and we'll bake cookies. Okay. We'll play Wii. Just come on in. You don't have to stay out. Come on back. And they'll look at that and they'll say, out here, in there. Well, it's fun out here, but I'm going in there. And they make a choice. We get upset and we think that the sickness won. No, the person made a choice. I love you. See ya. I mean, but that's what it is. You win. That's what we. No matter what happens, we win. We worry about when we hear someone, you know, has that type of report, and we forget to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And what's the goal of every single believer? To be present with the Lord. I mean that's. We can't be like that child that joke you used to tell about the child sitting in church. The pastor said, okay, who wants to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand except this child. And the pastor said, you don't want to go to heaven, child? I thought you were talking about now. Okay. That's the way we think. We're like, I don't want to go now. You know, some things I still want to do. You know, I want to grow up. I want to do these things. You know, I want to. Well, guess what? We're not children. We're supposed to know. And what we're supposed to know is that our God shall supply every single thing that we need. Our responsibility, or one of our responsibilities, is to notice the difference between what we need and what we want. See, we say, God, I need a car because I need to get to church. No, the need is you want to get to church. And we get upset because God doesn't provide the car because he knows that you don't have the finances to maintain the car. But he provides a friend that will give you a ride to wherever you want to go. You don't appreciate that because you want the car. I mean, that's what he said. I shall supply all your need. When he was ministering to the people and it was late, he said they need to eat. And all they had was bread and fish. Now, one of those persons said, I want a hamburger. You know, but we have folks that'll get upset. And they won't eat, and they're worried, where am I going to get food? Because I don't eat hamburgers. You know, I only eat this. With no exaggeration, I talk to our children. They go away to college. They found a church yet? No. Why not? I can't find one like RLCC. It's because there aren't any like RLCC. But God, we're not the only church out there teaching the word. They come back, you know, and they're thinner. Why? I can't. It's not home cooking. It's not designed to be home cooking. But what it's designed to do is sustain you until you get home. So because you can't find a church that ministers the way you say we minister at RLCC, you don't get fed spiritually. That's dumb. Go and get the word. Be nourished. You need to feed on the word. You want to be fed home, but you're not home. You're out there where God sent you, and he sent a way for you to receive your spiritual nourishment where you are. Stop worrying, oh, I just got to get home. No, you just have to do what he said. He will take care of you. The minister could be talking 100% error. If that's where God sent you, you'll hear the truth. You'll hear. He'll say, and you will immediately, the Holy Ghost will immediately tell you, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and A. Oh, okay, you go away thinking, great message. You know, great message. Let your parents hear the tape, and they're like, what are you talking about? You hear what he said? No, he said this and this. God will take care of you wherever you go. Even if he didn't send you, his grace is sufficient until you come to your senses. No, I'm serious. He will keep, it says his mercy endures forever. Forever. So even if you miss it, God will keep you until you get it. So why are we worrying? Because we miss it and say, oh, Lord, I know I shouldn't have done that. Oh, help me, Jesus. I don't know what I'm going to do now. Yes, you do. What do you mean? Well, he already told you. Confess your sins. I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So God said, just confess it to me and I'll make it like it never happened. So why are you worrying about it? It really doesn't matter what you have done. There's a scripture that I'll probably share with you next week. You know, and we know where God said nothing can separate us from his love. And even told by, he said, there's no sin that can separate you from God's love. None. Why? Because he made a way for you to get back into right standing with him. So there is absolutely no reason for us to ever worry about anything, about anyone. We just need to remember what Daddy said. I shall, because you don't have it yet, I shall supply all your needs.